I wonder if you would describe yourself as someone who worships God. Is that how you describe yourself? Someone who worships God. I'm sure all sorts of things come to mind when you think of worship. Maybe in your mind is a picture of somebody bowing down to a god or God or something like that. Is this person worshipping? Can you only quite see? That's a Mr. Bean skit. If you can look carefully, you can see that picture much better at the back there. Is worship going on in that church? Or what about in this one? Is this worship? Is this a picture of worship? Whatever you think of worship, the Bible, I think in Hebrews here, is saying that there are really two types of worship. Acceptable and unacceptable. So you might say, I worship God, but the big question is, do you worship God acceptably or unacceptably? Well, we are in the last chapter of Hebrews, and I think it can be really easy to miss the significance of this particular chapter. Remember that we've been saying that the highway to the heart is through the head. And so we've had 12 chapters from Hebrews, which has been unpacking for us and helping us to understand the real Jesus, the perfect sacrifice and perfect priest. And we have to understand this stuff so that we recognize what it is when the rubber hits the road, what that looks like. Remember back in chapter 9 and verse 14, it said, how much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God. There is the goal of the gospel, that we may serve the living God. Yeah, like as the Israelites were rescued out of Egypt, what were they rescued for? Can you remember? Let my people go. What's the next bit? That they may worship me. That would be an important part, that second part of the sentence, wouldn't it? Let my people go that they may worship me. Freed from sin for worship. When Jesus was talking to the woman at the well, remember he said, there is a time coming when you will not worship on this mountain or that mountain. It's not a geographical thing. It's a spiritual thing. You will worship in spirit and in truth. Well, that time, Hebrews says, has come. The time for worshipping God in spirit and truth has arrived. And you and I are smack bang in the middle of it. What a great privilege that is. So chapter 13 of Hebrews is the climax of the letter and outlines some, what I would say, are very important practical outcomes of all that he's been saying. And I say very important because it's about knowing what life looks like that is acceptable and pleasing to God. Don't you want to know that? And don't you want to be careful that you haven't determined what you will say worship will look like, because that might not be acceptable to God. You want to understand what God has said is acceptable and pleasing and pursue that. Well, the section begins, as Graham read for us from chapter 12 and 28, Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Now, that consuming fire reference is from Leviticus chapter 10, where a couple of the priests there named Nadab and Abihu, which I didn't find on the top 10 names for 2014 for babies, they did not worship God acceptably. That's what the whole story there in Leviticus 10 is about. And they were therefore consumed by fire, picked up by the dustpan and brush afterwards. Now, as confronting as that story is, and it is confronting, isn't it? Maybe you would say, oh, no, the God I know would never do that. Well, make sure the God you know is from the Bible and not from your imagination. It's a confronting story, but it reminds us, and the writer of Hebrews is reminding us, that acceptable worship is worship God's way and not our way and no other way. The passage here, this section in this passage ends with this. It says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name, and do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. So acceptable service and pleasing sacrifice, this is the language of true worship, of spiritual worship, the worship that Jesus talked about. And just a reminder, and I know we talked about it last week, it's really important for us to see that back there in that verse 28 of Hebrews chapter 12, it says, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably. See, acceptable worship flows from a thankful heart. It's thankful that Jesus is the perfect priest and perfect sacrifice, that he has done it. So in no way am I earning by doing. I am not even repaying. I am responding to his grace, and I lay my life at his feet out of gratefulness. I'm not trying to earn brownie points, am I? At all. And if you are, and any way think you are, unacceptable. Acceptable worship flows from the reality that God has done it all for you. Well, what I am so struck by this, and I know, again, I've said it before, that God in himself, as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is so intrinsically other-centered. Yeah, Father loves the Son loves the Father, the Spirit points to the Son points to the, you know, there's all this going on from all of eternity, this community that is happening within the Trinity. He is so other-centered that when he says to us to worship him or to love him, and he says, the way I love you to love me is to love others. Do you see that? The way that God wants you to love him is to love others. This is incredible. So that's why in chapter 13 and verse 1, it'll say, keep on loving one another. And it's the word in the Greek, Philadelphia. Do you know what Philadelphia means? Love? Well, brotherly love. So you've got that idea of love, that philo, or, you know, philosophy, love of thinking and that sort of thing, or all those sorts of other phils. Any phils here today? I don't think so. This Delphia is brotherly love. Keep on loving one another. So you ought not be surprised that flowing directly out of loving God, out of worshipping God, the first thing is to love one another. But not just love one another, notice, it's love one another as brothers and sisters. All through Hebrews, we've been told that Jesus is our brother, and that having him as our brother, we are all brothers and sisters together, that we are a holy family. To worship God acceptably is to love one another as brothers. I wonder if there is a significant focus on the congregation of God's people, those who are belonging to Jesus, that we belong to one another. We might say family comes first, and that's good. But God says, this is your family. Family comes first. Hebrews has been full of the idea of helping. Let me just put two of them up there for you. Encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So remember the idea? We are to run, to finish, together. Really important. Well, what about this word? Anyone know what this word means?
Loving strangers.
Loving strangers, or probably in particular loving aliens, which is not aliens, but aliens, those who are alien to us. And the idea there clearly is stranger, isn't it? And I think you can see it there in verses 2 and 3 of Hebrews chapter 13. Worship God acceptably. And often the word used for the love of stranger is the word hospitality. I'm just finding life is so busy. I haven't even got time to have my friends over for lunch. Do you find that? Is that wrong? Is something gone wrong? I don't know, maybe too busy, or maybe the house is just, it's just not perfectly tidy, and if I had someone come over, they would see what I'm really like. And I don't want anyone to know what I'm really like. Well, it's okay. Some of us struggle with that a little more than others. But we ought not to... the other thing I noticed... One thing I noticed doing funerals is when I'm really quite interested in the eulogies. Listen very carefully. And so often there's this testimony about mums who just were able to include people, these randoms, last minute at the dinner table or the lunch table or whatever it might be. And this always seems to be a very impacting thing in this children's life. And so we always had some weird person at the table, which we thought was really weird. But in reflection, we say, wow, wasn't that great? We ought not to think that we think hospitality, we think that's having somebody at home. Don't be limited to that. I think I want to say it is welcoming the stranger, isn't it? So it is the person who comes amongst us that if they're new amongst us, we ought to at least say hello, oughtn't we? We restrict ourselves to our own friends. We say, I only want to talk to those that I know and am friends with and catch up. And yet we just have to stop for a moment and look around and say, Is there anybody that's not talking to somebody? I'm really encouraged at 10 a.m. And I'm not saying this is not at 8 a.m., I'm just saying it's at 10 a.m. That I look around and very rarely do I see someone anymore standing by themselves. Someone's always on their way to go and talk to them. I think that's fantastic. What a great testimony. Love of stranger. Ah, there's the bird we've been looking for. Now, if someone could just walk up the back and just ask it to leave the back door, that would be good because it's coming back in. That's it. Keep going. It's been in here since Friday night. And I think it's been underneath that chair. Wow. Well done. There you go. There is a great way of not loving a stranger. Get out of here. I think, doesn't Jesus say, you know, the least of what you have done to these brothers of mine, you have done to me, even to take a cup of water. That least thing, at least. It talks about those in prison. There in verse 3, remember those in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners. That is quite significant, isn't it? Oh, no, that's not the one. Prison, there's still that. To remember those in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners with them. I think the first reference in Hebrews when talking about prisoners is to the leaders and those of the community that have been put in prison because of their testimony to the gospel. And so there's that sense that we need to identify with them. Because they've stood for the gospel, which follows on there, and also to, it says, and those who are mistreated, again, as if you yourselves were being mistreated. I think, again, that is the sense of being mistreated because of their stand for the gospel in this first instance. But it can't be limited to that. Today, I think one of the difficulties we have in interpretation of some of the scriptures is that we live in a world that is different to that world, don't we? We live in a world that is now saturated and penetrated by Christianity profoundly. People don't even realise the fact that they say, we don't want to hear about God. The fact that they've got that freedom of speech is because of Christianity has been so soaked into the community. And to the culture. So we do have to think carefully about how to understand it comes from a very different culture. But I would want to say we ought to extend it to people who are in prison. People who are not just in prison, therefore, people who are prisoners maybe in their own home or prisoners in a nursing home or whatever it might be. That's important, isn't it? There is love of stranger or love of the person who is restricted in becoming part in being part of the family to go out to them. We've got our nursing home service tomorrow, 10:30, something like that, 10:45. Be there at 10:30 up at Lakeside there, Queens Lake. Identify with those who are being mistreated. How do we identify with those who are in Iraq at this moment, being mistreated by ISIS? How do we identify? I've given money. I gave money to the Archbishop's Appeal and all these sorts of things. But I just feel like, there's something more. What can I do? And I pray for them and something to think about. Identify with them. The next one there is marriage. Worship God acceptably by honouring marriage. It says there marriage should be honoured by all. Is that marriage should be honoured by all who are married? No, it's marriage should be honoured by all. So I suppose that would include the child or to honour the marriage of the parents. The in-laws ought to honour the marriage of their daughter, what a son, whatever it might be. The Do you see what there's? And I think it at least has some sense today that we ought to wisely, and I underline wisely, interact with the whole debate about marriage at the moment. You know, is marriage between a man and a man, or a woman, or a man and a woman, or what is it? We need to honour marriage, and I suppose that we want to worship God by somehow having some input into that marriage, into that discussion about marriage. So I don't know, but it also includes those who are married, isn't it? I just wonder, if you're married, are you talking at the moment?
Well, I'm talking. It's her that's not talking, or whatever it might be.
I tell you what, I do that. I, you know, Elizabeth might do something drastically terrible.
Well, I'm not going to talk to her for at least a day.
It's just, you know, it embeds and gets closer and closer to the brain, and it affects the way we act towards one another. I just tell you that because I need to think about this as much as you do. You know, it talks about the marriage bed being kept pure. I think as the day goes on today, the application will change. As talking to, you know, when I'm talking to the 6 o'clock service tonight, talk to those that aren't even married yet, I'm going to say, you need to honour your marriage. You need to love your husband or wife, your future husband or wife, whoever. You don't even know who they are yet. You need to love them. And what's that going to look like with the way you live your life, the things you watch on TV or whatever it might be? What about this one? Worship God acceptably by keeping your lives free from the love of money and being content with what you have. I think it's true to say that we will be tempted to be worldly in the way that our world is worldly, our culture is worldly. Does that make sense? That which we're immersed in is that which we'll end up taking on board. And we are immersed in a world that loves money, aren't we? You know, every news bulletin, how's the money going? How's the money going with gambling? Gamble here, gamble there, make more money. Do you buy lottery tickets? Why? Do you love money? And you're saying, well, I don't buy lottery tickets, so maybe that means I don't love money. Well, I don't know. Do you love money? Because this seems to say that there is some, we need to keep on working at this battle because greed has an appeal. And we will begin to take on what the community has taken on. It's a fight. Don't find your security in money, because it says here, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Isn't that wonderful? You've got something better than money. Better than money to look after you. Can you imagine that? There's something better. And then to go on, so I will say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I'll not be afraid. What can man do to me? I'm with him, not with whatever faces might be on the $100 note. I think it's the ice guy, isn't it? Anyway, you'll know. You've probably got one. You can have a look at it. Do you love money? Keep your lives free from the love of money. Didn't Jesus say you cannot love both God and money? Cannot serve both God and money? It's very worship of God, acceptably, thankfulness, not allowing other trusts to come in and penetrate and contaminate. Very quickly, we're going to look at these things next year in more detail, but we go over them quickly now. Leaders, remember your leaders, it says, but what is it that your leaders do? It isn't that somehow you get a leader and that just by the nut, because they've got the word leader over them, that you must therefore honour them. It's honour the leader who speaks the word of God to you. And consider the outcome of their lives. speak, those who speak the word of God. Verse 8 there goes on, verse 9. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teaching. So you've got the speaking of the, you've got good leaders who speak the word of God to you, and you've got bad leaders who give you strange teaching. But in the middle there, verse 8, what is the verse? Between good leaders and bad leaders, good teaching, strange teaching, what verse is there? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, I know I see this engraved and crocheted and cross-stitched and all sorts of things. Well, what does it mean here? Well, I don't think I fully appreciated it, so I would really encourage you to think, what is that verse saying? I think it's at least saying that the priests of the Old Testament, it changed, but Jesus Christ never changes. So make sure you've got him clear in his eternal sovereign rule, that he has done it one perfect sacrifice forever, that he is the perfect priest forever. He does not change. You can put confidence in knowing him. Nothing's going to change. So I wonder if there's an emphasis in doctrinally, you can trust in Jesus. Well, you might have some better ideas. Finally, I just want to say that all this is in his strength. You see, God doesn't leave you with instructions, then leave you to it, but he equips you. Have a look there finally at verse 20. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with every good thing for doing his will, and may he work in us that which is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. So he equips you and he works in you. We are equipped with all we need to worship. Cleansed conscience and the like that Hebrews has talked about. And there is this sort of recursive thing going on here, that as we make an effort in our worship with these things to not, I'm going to say, I'm not going to love money. Well, I'm going to put that into practice and effort. I'm going to be generous. I need to make an effort, but as he is making an effort as well. He is working in me. But the only reason I make an effort in the first place is because he's made the effort in the first place. Is this thing going on together? We're hand in hand working. So it's not that I choose to do things in God's strength and not my own. I'm choosing to do things with the strength that he has given me, counting on his strength. Just to think a little bit more deeply about that. So it's not that I sit back and say, God, you need to do it. You need to make me not love money. You need to make me honour marriage. You need to make me love the stranger. You need... Well, do you see? Yes, it is that, but it's not that. I need to do this. But the fact that I do it is him working in me and strengthening me to do it. So I put some effort into it, but then you'll find that it's the effort that he's given. He equips and he strengthens. This is why we have the dismissal often when we come together, when we finish our services together, to go in peace, to love and serve the Lord. And what's the response? In the name of Christ. That's why he says here that we do all this through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. It is because Jesus is raised from the dead that he equips us to do his will. We were made for worship. Do you worship God? Would you describe yourself as a worshipper of God? But have you understood what it is to worship acceptably? Thankfulness flows out in worship, but it is worship God's way, and it is profoundly other-centered. We're going to think more about those things in February, so look forward to that. Let's pray. Our loving Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for the opportunity to gather. Father, we pray that you would help us to understand what acceptable worship is, what sacrifices that are pleasing to you are. And Heavenly Father, we do thank you for Jesus, the perfect priest and perfect sacrifice, that we are right with you as we trust in you. So, Father, help us to respond to one another, to love one another, to love the stranger, to honour marriage, to not love money, to love your word. And we pray this in Jesus' name.